Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The Survivor Specialist Film Will are back, and we are recapping the Survivor 49 finale. We have ourselves a new winner, and we are going to dive into that win. We're going to be talking all about what I think was a very pretty wide open final three here. And we can discuss how 50 obviously impacted that. We'll get into the 50 trailer at the end of all of this. We'll talk about some different challenge types here for the end of this. And did ultimately Sophie make the right decision? She lost, but would it have made a difference if she sat next to Rizzo or Savannah had she not let them make fire? We'll get into all of that. Savannah wins. It's official. Wow. It's happened.
What a shocker. Who saw that coming?
When Blake is getting it right, you know it's insanely spoiled. That's all I'm going to say. here's what I think about Savannah's game right here. I'll start off with it before we get into the 50 of it all, and that annoys us. But look, Savannah went and pulled the Heidek. She went Ice Queen here. She said, I am playing this game as a Survivor player. You are pawns. Maybe I'll get to know you, but I'm not going to get to know you that well. Christina, who I have been calling not a killer the entire season, I apologize. That final tribal question was such a killer question. I absolutely loved it. And it took me back to Thailand. Nobody ever talks about Thailand, but I think it was Penny who asked Brian, can you name my sister or can you name my kids or whatever it was? And Brian just looked at her and said, nope, can't do it. Wins 4-3 anyway. Made it a little bit closer. He sweats out the win. But at the end of the day, you only need 4 votes to win. I think that Savannah maybe sweeps this game. Probably doesn't get Jawan's vote ever, but probably gets more votes here at this final tribal. And it just showed the strength of her game throughout, that even getting being that bad at that part of the game, to the point where you could say that's a terrible social game, she played so well in the other facets. They still gave her the money. She still got 5 votes. She still dominated the game. I'm happy with the Savannah win. I'm not happy with what we've known throughout the entire season, but I am very pleased. I think she's a very deserving winner. I think people are going to overrate the hell out of her coming up, and that's no knock on her. I do think that it's going to be one of those where people are just putting her on a pedestal coming out of this, because it's going to be she won the 4 challenges, she wins whatever. But I think that Savannah played a very good game. I think she's very deserving. I think she was the most deserving of the final 3, despite the final tribal council performance. And I'm not upset with her win by any means. I'm just upset with the way that this has been handled now for 8 months.
I'm surprised you're saying you think she will be overrated or highly ranked as a winner. I do not think so. I think her win is very, like, it's a physical win. This is a challenge beast win. She really, like, didn't, what moves? I don't know. When you're safe that often, it's not like she was single-handedly making moves or flipping. Like she said, she's loyal to the soil. She played kind of a down the line boring game, if you really come down. I mean, 4 immunity wins in scenarios where she was the boo, where she was the target, and then she wins the fire making challenge to get into the final 4. So I don't know. I don't think we're looking, I almost compare her to Rachel in a way where it's like Rachel is actually, even though Savannah absolutely, I believe, has like the strategic chops, like given the right season, given the right opportunity, hell, who maybe even on 50, like we'll see a different side of Savannah. But like when you win that many challenges, you kind of have a one note game. So I don't think she is going to be ranked all that highly.
Can I explain why I think so though? Here,
sure,
I got 2 reasons why I think so. One, I think we haven't seen a woman pull this off with the, like, well, Rachel did, but Rachel also had that one tribal council with the, safety without power that a lot of people do dock her for big time when they're talking about her. That's like,
which
a big
is so
flag.
Silly, which
but
is
it is
so
something
silly.
That people will go to. Savannah doesn't have that. And I think where people might roll their eyes at Mike Holloway doing this and winning 5 immunity challenges, most of the time, the person who does this doesn't win. I think that Savannah being a female player who had a shot to win a 5th, I don't think we've ever seen a female player with a shot to win a 5th. She actually had the chance to win the 5th. I think people are going to really praise her for the challenge performance here. And the other reason though, and again, if you want to give her a lot of credit here, it's fair. The other reason though is, and it's the big one, when people watch the entire season knowing who's going to win the season, when that happens, they watch the story and they enjoy being right so much that they then are like, oh, I knew that the whole time. That was awesome. I got to watch this, because so often they're wrong. And I do think a lot of that was, I think that a lot of that is going to play into the season. I really, really do. I think that's why Gabler is absolutely despised. I think that's part of the reason why he's despised. And I think you see that a lot with winners. And with like somebody like Kyle, Kyle's not getting the credit that he probably deserves for his game in 48 because people didn't see it coming. And I think that when people know the winner, Marianne is another one. That season was so unbelievably spoiled that when she won, people really were just like, oh my God, Marianne played this like insane game. Now it's died off a little bit for Marianne, but I just think that that's probably where this is going to go. And again, I think Savannah played a great game. I just think that we are probably going to see a little bit of overrating of her right off the bat here from the online community. From the casuals, I don't
they're not ranking winners anyway, so it doesn't really matter. I don't know. I feel like the online community is so much more in favor of a strategic game over a physical one. And that's where I would think even the people online are going to be like, yeah, Savannah. I mean, I'm already seeing comments in our chat here like, Savannah's the second worst New Era winner, and I imagine that's behind Gabler. So, I mean, I don't know. I think people – and look, I'm not saying that you shouldn't rate her game highly, or that she didn't play a deserving game or winning game. I think she played a very solid game, but to me, I think she can even, I think her legacy can actually improve from 50. Like, I think she can show us more. The fact that she was safe from winning challenges, you know, what, half the votes of the post-merge? Like, we just didn't get to see her full range of what her game could be. But I really enjoyed Final Tribal Council. I think the Final Tribal Council theme kind of boiled down to this head versus heart. And I don't know, you bring up the Thailand thing, and I kind of wanted to say, you know, this is the evolution of the game. You know, it started out social, now it's more gamey and strategic, but like, Heidek still won in season 5 and Savannah still won in season 49. Some of the questions were very pointed at, like, do you know me at all? Do you care about me? Did you make real connections here? Obviously, Christina's is one of those. But then Jawan's question as well. He goes, what is your why? And then he smartly adds, should your why even matter? Like, should we take into account as a jury person and what your story is before you came onto this show? And Savannah straight up, I think that was her best response of the night. Because again, I don't know if Savannah really, I mean, she mentioned like the Sophie boot. She mentioned the Christina boot about fire. But like at that point, you were, I don't know. Those weren't that big of moves. That like Savannah did not have some marquee jury management move where she can be like, look at me. This is my like shining moment. I took over here. Like Rizzo would have had a few of those if he was there. We will talk about how Rizzo would have done if he made final three. But Savannah's saying, I'm selfish. I want to win. I played for myself. This is for me. You know what, Joanne? It shouldn't matter why I'm playing. It shouldn't matter why Sophie's playing. It shouldn't matter why Sage is playing. We all have causes. We all have our own stories. We should talk about what happened on this island the past 26 days. That's all that should matter. And you see Joanne obviously voting for Sage, which, look, I get it. I like throwing a vote at your closest ally. But the jury said, look, we might not have gotten along with Savannah. Hell, we might not even like Savannah that much. But out of the three people sitting here, she absolutely played the best game. But was her competition all that stiff? Well, I think that's really like we never heard. I was surprised it didn't come up. And maybe this was it. Maybe it did come up and it was intentional by the producers to omit it. Is Sophie's misplay of knowledge is power last week? You would think that would be a very big talking point. If you're going to interrogate someone in the final three, like tell us about that move. Rizzo's idol was there. Did you know about Rizzo's idol being active at Final Five? Why didn't you use it on him? Why'd you use it on Steven when you didn't even know he had it? You didn't even know what it was. So maybe that was in there, and then they wanted to add some suspense, like Sophie could possibly pull this out over Savannah, and that's why they omitted it. But I really don't know if Savannah, like, her competition here was not strong in the final three, I gotta say.
No. And we'll talk about that. I just want to throw up this super chat real quick because we're going to get here. Worth Playing For says Billie Eilish idol. Everybody played everything wrong this whole season. And, you know, maybe that's why Jeff has Billie Eilish boomerang idol. Is that what it is?
There's a boomerang idol coming. Yes.
And I appreciate this.
Which I'm curious what that is. Seems interesting.
Yeah. I appreciate the super chat. That's where I go with this, though. I think if Rizzo sat at final three, and maybe we'll find out tomorrow in exit press and everything. And I will have exit interviews with four of the final five tomorrow.
Amazing.
Four of the final five.
And you did a great job last season. So I'm not surprised they're having you back.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. And so I will have that. And maybe tomorrow we'll hear a different story. But to me, it felt like that final tribal council was way more wide open than we thought. And had I not known the 50 of it all, I would have been thinking like, whoa, Sophie Bellarity's coming out of this feeling good. Like she's answering the questions correctly. She's hitting the right nerves with people. People just like her more. Christina's question really did the job that she wanted it to do, which was throw Savannah under the bus and show what her most glaring weakness was. But people were able to look past that glaring weakness. And I do think a lot of it had to do with who she was sitting next to. I think that Sage did not pitch her game well. And I think even worse for Sage was even when she was pitching her game well, the jury just wasn't being receptive to it. I think Steven was a little bitter here. I'm not going to lie. I feel like he was a little sour on Sage and wasn't really giving her the time of day. When she said, I made Sophie Segretti go home, they all said, well, it was a 6-1 vote. How hard was that? Sage was the deciding person in that vote. That does not go 6-1. Savannah goes home if Sage doesn't say, I
won. She said that, and she was right. Actually, I actually thought Sage had a very good final tribal performance, and this was something I had said all season, at least as a, you know, someone in the audience viewing the edited version of the show, because people kept saying Sage can win, Sage can win. I kept saying she cannot win because all she talks about is poops and farts and turds and warts and blackheads. And like, the show will not make their winner be like, they will not make an unserious winner that is that silly and that odd. And I think that's probably the jury was experiencing that too. Like, if you're sitting there going to award someone $1 million and the champion of the season that you competed on, you're going to award someone the winner that bested you, that is going to be looked at as the best player on your season, and you're going to give it to the farty poopy pants girl. Like, I just, they're just, that wasn't going to happen. And I think she maybe brought that upon herself, but I don't know. That's her natural personality. And I think it was disarming in a lot of ways. And I think it helped her. I think she was far more strategic than anyone, like anyone in the jury could even believe. And honestly, it's like, if they didn't believe her, I think she was telling the truth. Like, I actually think she was the driving force. And it reminds me a little bit of Carolyn in season 44, where it's like, Carolyn crazy, like has just this really kooky personality. But behind that all is it a very strategic mind for the game, but the jury just can't, you can't see through that. You can't see past it.
Yeah, and I think we talked about this on the podcast before, and it's kind of what Ben Katzman ran into, Carolyn. If the jury sees you as a character, it's hard to win. And that's where I thought it was going with Rizzo, because Rizzo, I never really felt like Rizzo was going to win. Now the edit makes more sense, right? He's the final four fire-making loser, so he goes out here. But it's like they saw Sage as a character, and her coming out and saying, I wasn't just a character. Here's my backstory. Here's what I did. Here's what I've accomplished. Making the Philip Shepard strategy sound sane, right? Of being an intelligent attaché, as Philip Shepard used to say. You sit here and you watch her game, and it's almost as if there wasn't enough time for her to say, no, seriously, guys, I outplayed everybody here. Because if you were to ask me who played the best strategic game out of the final three, I think it's Sage. Who played the best physical game? I think it's Savannah. And who played the best social game? I think it's probably Sophie. And I think that's why all three of them got votes at this final tribal council. And it'll be interesting to see the way people react to a Sage who gets one vote at this tribal council compared to a Joe from last season who gets one vote at a final tribal council. Because Joe is coming back to play Survivor again. Joe is a big fan favorite, at least for, I know for a lot of the casual, I know the online community is like mixed on Joe. But I'm curious how people will react to Sage. Is Sage a goat? Is Sage somebody we don't take seriously? I think that Sage is really misunderstood by her tribe. And I think that it really just came down to she didn't have enough time to really explain her game, because there's only so many minutes at that final tribal and other people are going to get answers. And I think a lot of people were closed off to her anyway. I think a great example of this, Will, is Edge of Extinction, which was an episode, which was a finale that was brought up tonight by Jeff Probst, which if my wife is listening, mute the thing, because I muted it on the TV so she wouldn't know who won, because it's one of the few winners she doesn't know. And it was brought up there. Julie Rosenberg gives a phenomenal performance at that final tribal council. Didn't matter. She had zero chance. It was over for her the second she walked in the door. I think that's where Sage was. She was always going to get Juwan's vote. But unfortunately, somebody like Steven, somebody like Sophie Segretti, somebody like MC, somebody even like Christina, even Nate, who's watching the entire game happen, it was too late for all of them.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me almost of like, maybe this is too analogy or metaphor because we've gotten so many of them this season, especially bad ones. But maybe it's apt due to Juwan's horror story. I'll continue the horror story metaphor where it's like, okay, the ghost is in the house and the main character knows the ghost is in the house. So like, look, the TV turns on at 4:24 every night and it's on the specific ad with this weird message and you're like explaining this ghost. And you know, as the audience, that this person's absolutely being haunted, and they tell all their friends or their family, they're like, no, ghosts aren't real. Like, no way. Like, that's not it. I almost feel like that's Sage talking to this jury, where she's like, no, I'm really strategic. And I was like the driving force behind like all the strategy of the post merge. I voted correctly all but one time. And everyone's like, yeah, okay, Sage, sure. Yeah. Like, you can think that. And like, maybe the jury is sitting there thinking, Sage is putting on a strategic face because that's what she needs to do to win, that she needs to pretend to be strategic, and they're just not buying it. But she really was. And I don't know if she articulated it all that well, but still staying within her character and being herself, I thought she did a pretty damn good job. Obviously, we're the audience. We got to see the edited episodes, and it did like at least appear to me for a lot of the post-merge that Sage was making the strategic decisions. And last week, Phil, I know I had to talk you into it, But like voting out Steven was absolutely the correct move. And she explains exactly why. Yeah. She tells Steven straight to his face. And it's almost like, no, you were just mean to me, or you were just like, you didn't want me there. Like, you just wanted to backstab. It's like, no, Steven, that was a strategic decision that Sage needed to do in order to win the game. Yeah. And she really didn't get any credit for it. I mean, I think if there's a case being made that Sage played a better game than Savannah, I just think the four challenge wins and just, I don't know. It's so much on vibes, Phil, where you can like understand Savannah just as a winning, almost has like a winning personality, and not like winning personality in the real world, but like within Survivor, it's like, oh, that's a person who's playing hard, playing strategically. Like I can vouch for that win. That's going to make my season appear better.
She's aggressive and she's serious. And I think those are two really good traits to have if you go on Survivor. Like if you're sitting there and you're watching this game play out and you say, okay, I just lost to somebody. Do you want to lose to somebody who is talking about poop and pee, like Will said earlier? Do you want to lose to somebody who's kind of passive, like Sophie Bellarity played this game? And even the way Sophie Bellarity reacted in some of the situations at Tribals and some of the situations at camp, she was a little more reserved. She let things come to her. She was, oh, shucks, I can't believe I just did this. Even when she's getting the votes at Final Tribal, really? Oh, this is great. Thanks, guys. Whereas Savannah just says, screw you guys. I played a better game. I know what I did. I know what my strengths are. I know what my weaknesses are. It's up to you if you want to reward that. Do you want to reward wishy-washy? Do you want to reward something you don't really understand? Or do you want to reward somebody who's telling you right now, here's the pros of me, here's the cons of me. Decide if the cons outweigh the pros. I think she wore it on her sleeves, and that really helped her at this final tribal. Because I do think, out of well, at least what we watched on TV, Savannah had the worst final tribal performance. I bet you there's a lot of people who are confused how Savannah won that, but I think she had a couple answers. I think she had a couple answers here and there that were so good that they just outweighed her bad answers. And she already had everything pointing in her direction coming to that tribal. If Sophie plays knowledge of power right, she wins. And I think she would have, but she didn't. So this was all Savannah coming into tribal. It was hers to lose. She was up 7-1 coming into final.
Yeah. I mean, we have to remember also, Phil, that like the jury sitting there doesn't know Savannah's on 50. So like that's not why they voted her to win.
I don't know.
You know? Yeah. Right. I don't know. I disagree because like what you're bringing up is when she's, you know, can't name anyone's family members. Like, is that a bad performance? Or is that just an irrelevant question that she couldn't answer? And if you fail to answer a question that isn't relevant to getting the votes you need to win, then I can't really say it's a bad performance. And I think the way she answered Jawan's question almost like vouched for her non-answer of Christina's question. Her saying that I'm here for me and I'm selfish and that the reasons we're playing should not matter and that all this other stuff outside the game, all of our relationships with our friends and family back home, like why should that have any influence? She answered that so well that, like, I'm not going to fault her for the Christina. I almost made her more of a badass, in my opinion. Like, well, like you said, Ice Queen, like Brian Heidick. Like, it's more ice cold to be like, yeah, I didn't really need to get to know any of you, but I played the best game. You're still going to vote for me to win.
And I think it goes to what's important to this jury. And she was, I don't know if she was lucky. I mean, because it is like with the new era and stuff, but ultimately what was more important to this jury was what were your game moves and should this matter? They were more willing, like somebody like Steven. And that's where, again, I'm going to pick on Steven a little bit tonight because I've picked on everybody else enough. So I'm going to pick on Steven a little bit. Somebody like Steven ends up voting for Savannah because he feels that she plays the best game, right? He removes the emotion from it and he votes for the person that he thinks plays the best game. But then at the same time, the person who got him, the person who is the reason he went home, he doesn't vote for. And he had a better relationship with Sage. They were the bottoms up alliance. I don't think Savannah didn't even get to Steven. I don't know in her spot there. Or her name was Kelsey. That's what it was. His partner's name was Kelsey.
He did. But, she did nail that one. That was like the only one she got right.
It was pretty much the only one she got right. And so what my point is, though, I think that she did have the jury that was more into what Savannah was doing. There are certain juries where if she did this, she loses the game. I think that we've seen those juries, even in the new era. Like, I think a jury like season 46 does not vote for Savannah if those are her answers. Like, you're not going to get votes from Maria, from Q. Like, you're just not, especially based on what they voted for. So I do think that that really helped her, that she was sitting there with a jury that was into this. But good, know your jury. That's what I always say when people try to knock Heidick, and I'm bringing him up a lot because the Ice Queen and the Ice Man, when people try to knock Heidick for only winning 4-3 over Clay, I always say, you only need four votes to win. He went into that final tribal council with four votes. It did not matter what happened at that final tribal. He knew the votes he needed, and he knew how to get those. Savannah did the same thing tonight. She knew what votes she had to get. She knew what she needed to change and what she didn't need to change. I just truly think that maybe it's because going into that tribal, it felt like it was Savannah's to lose. So it felt like she was on the downswing. And I feel like other people might have gained votes, or at least like gained a little momentum. I don't think Sophie Bellarity was getting two votes going into that final tribal. I think she outperformed Savannah at that final tribal. I just think she was so far behind in the race. It doesn't matter. You can have a 30-point fourth quarter. If you're down 40, it doesn't make a difference.
It's like the Chris Paul hits deep three to cut the lead down to 44. That video or that gif. Yeah, another analogy here. I'm really feeling the analogies tonight.
It's Blake would be like, so proud.
I know. It's kind of reminding me of the college football conversation, the college football playoff. And it's like you're looking at resumes and is this team worthy of getting in? And you're talking about precedent of last season, like, oh, SMU, they weren't punished for losing the comp. And there's all this precedent in like, you know, well, 10-2 or is it 9-3 or whatever your record is. And it's like every year needs to be taken as its own because every year the teams are different. The records are different. There's no right answer about if you're a playoff team or not. I think that's kind of what it is with the Survivor winner in a lot of ways. Like you just have to win your season. You don't have to be the best player of all 50 seasons or the whole new era or whatever group of seasons you want to talk about. And so all Savannah has to do here is beat Sage and beat Sophie. And her game, that's all she needed to do. So it's not like she had to make flashier or more strategic moves. You sit next to two people who you can confidently beat, and that's what she did. So and that's why we always say, I don't know, have we ever done a winner's ranking? I know Alexa.
Only when we first started the channel.
Alexa was the biggest proponent of it, and I really did agree with her. And it's to this point that, like, it's hard to rank winners because it's so contextual. It's saying, like, the environment and the people you're playing with, the variables are just, they're infinite on how you can play your season based on who's there, what twists are happening, where the location is, what challenges they use, what advantages are in the game. Like, it's endless. So it's hard to say this winner is better than that winner. And that's why we really don't ever do winner rankings on
the podcast. And we're going to do quite a few rankings here in January to give a little tease. We're going to be doing quite a few rankings. Winners is not one of them.
Right.
Yeah. Like winners is not.
We're doing to keep teasing it more, Phil, if you'll let me keep teasing it more, we're going to do top 50s. And we don't even have 50 Survivor winners. We only have 47?
Yeah, we could start pulling from AU, but then Will would have to lock himself in his room during Christmas and watch about 7,500 hours. I was going to say 75 hours. That would get you through about three seasons.
No, it's like three episodes.
Yeah, dude, brutal. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. And it kind of comes, you know, going with your college football. I know now that the college football playoff is coming, ESPN put out their article of like
literally in 2 days.
It's in 2 days, but they do the best. They ranked all the teams that had made the college football playoff over like the last 10 years. It's impossible to rank that. Like, it's just like, oh, this team would beat that team. What are you talking about? Like, how do you know that?
I don't know. That's a little bit different. Like, I think that's more of an interesting.
They do it based on, like, they were doing it based, and here's why. They were doing it based on, like, oh, they won by this many points on average. It's like, well, who did they play? They did
right. Okay, that's the bullshit that we're talking about. That's why it's so hard to compare across different seasons of Survivor and seasons of, like, any given sport. And we often do, like, especially on the Patreon, Phil and I, like, often compare Survivor to a sport, and we treat it like a sport. I mean, that's why you have a podcast about it like a sport. But at least for football, there are like objective rules in how to play, and you have players and skill positions and you understand what you need to do to win football. You need to score more points than the other team. And I get, yes, jury votes, you need to get, those are objective. You can count those. That's a counting stat, but jury votes are subjective. There's no objective metric to winning Survivor other than the jury vote, which is inherently subjective. So that's why it gets way more difficult with Survivor, whereas like I do think somewhat you could compare like, oh, that 0-1 Miami team to the 2019 LSU team, like who do you got? And you could have a legitimate conversation about it because we know the rules of football. I don't think you could say, all right, Savannah is on one season, Rachel's on the other season, or put Rachel and Savannah on the same season, who you got? It's like, okay, well, I don't know.
Are
like,
they on the same starting tribe?
Yeah, are they starting on the same tribe? Yeah. Or which tribe is better at challenges? Like, are we doing three tribes, two tribes? When are we? I mean, it's just, it's kind of silly at this point. Yeah.
So let's throw up some super chats here and then we'll keep getting into this. Cody Brayman, my new hope for 50 is the Ceree, Camilla, Devins, Genevieve, and Savannah alliance. Another one, he says, also, this was a great season. And then Wesley White here says, I think Savannah win is similar to Rachel, not only in challenges, but they both got labeled threats early in the merge despite being on the bottom and no one could remove them. I do agree with that, Will. You had mentioned Savannah earlier, or Rachel earlier. I do agree with that for sure. That Rachel's probably her biggest comp. I think when the people start comparing her more to D, that's when I'll start to be like, nah, I'm going to go this way. I think she's more with Rachel. And I think Rachel, I did a winner ranking actually on another podcast and they were like, well, just come on, rank the new era winners.
Another podcast?
I did. And I went on and I did it. And I think I put Rachel at four of the new era winners. Yeah. I think I did her as number four, but again, it's like impossible. And if you were to make an argument for why Rachel is number one, I would sit there and I would listen to your argument. But I do think that Savannah's game is most similar to hers because it's like I was talking about, I think on the predictions episode or whatever it was, maybe on our last episode, I do so many episodes at this point, but Savannah was down 7-3 and she made some nifty moves. She made some cool things happen, but it didn't feel like a true back against the wall. Everything has to go. And maybe that's because of the 50 of it all. Maybe that had more of an impact on my game, on my thought process than I thought. But Savannah, I always felt like had a little bit more power than some of these other people have truly, truly been at the bottom. And so that's why I don't feel for her when she's saying my back was against the wall, certainly against the wall more than Sage and more than Soph, but I didn't feel like it was ever against the wall. Like I always make the comparison of Chris or Danny back in their day when they're down 6-1 and you're going, well, you can't pull this off. Or Mike Holloway. Mike Holloway was truly in a
situation. Mike Holloway, five in a row. I don't make sense five in a row. I always bring up Fabio. I mean, Fabio won three of the last three. Jenna Maraska, what, she won three of the last three.
Last two, I think, yep. Or maybe three.
I think she won three.
No, she didn't win the Heidi one because they chose Heidi over her. And then she
won four
and three.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mentioned Heidi on the Survivor 49 podcast. Will, how you feeling right now?
Great. I always good. Like a good, you know, Heidi should have been on 50. Mm-hmm. It's funny you say, like, Savannah had her back against the wall, certainly more than Sophie and Sage. Now I'm recalling, were Sage or Sophie ever targeted at all throughout the entire
Sage didn't get a vote. Merge?
I don't think Sage got a vote. And then Sophie, she was targeted that she could have gone home the Steven boot.
That was it.
That was it. I mean, that was really the only time. So, and I think that does have a pretty big, that's like a major factor, I think. And maybe that's hard when it, and we should get to the Rizzo of it all. And like, we didn't get the hand raise from Jeff. Where was the, if Rizzo was sitting in the final three, who would have voted for Rizzo?
Stop doing that.
Does he not? Is it?
Yeah, he stopped doing that.
I wonder why. I'm sure there's some reason. Maybe a producer or somebody at CBS like was like, hey, like, it's like undermining our current champion a little bit where it's like, oh, this person was the star. I just broke a glass. Oops. That like
do that it live. This,
I know that this person is your champion. Why do a hand raise and be like, oh yeah, you actually would have lost to the person sitting there? I mean, you can kind of use it to hype them up, like good move, way to put them on the jury. But maybe that's why Jeff doesn't do it. I always find that fascinating. It's not always correct either. And especially when it was at like the live reunion after the jury members had seen the edited show, like that doesn't really hold much water. So
here's what I will say. If Rizzo's at final three because he wins Fire over Savannah, he probably wins 7-1. I really believe that. I think he probably gets Christina's vote. And I think he gets MC's vote. Maybe it stays the same, but he wins easy. Like he wins. I thought the jury was lower on him. No way. The way that fire making was going, they were rooting.
Everyone was rooting. Yeah, totally rooting for it. I brought this up, I believe, last week, Phil. I had said they might roll their eyes at all the idol shenanigans. And if it's just for show, I'm like, dude, sit down. This is annoying. But that doesn't mean you wouldn't vote for him to win. I think Rizzo was well liked. When you talk, so who are you interviewing tomorrow?
Everybody but Sage, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, maybe you can. I mean, I'm sure Rizzo's asked around. I'm sure Rizzo has an answer for you.
I'm sure.
I think he, especially winning Fire too. I think that also helped Savannah. Why didn't Sophie put herself in Fire, especially after the Knowledge is Power fumble? Like, she needed something. Like, she needed to point to a big moment.
Here's why. there was the, I think it was it last season or 47? Somebody said, just because you win, winning the final immunity challenge is a move within itself. You don't have to win final immunity and then go make fire. Wow, that is a broken glass. You don't have to just win and then go make fire. You should, it should be viewed as a move. And I feel like she made it seem like, look, I made a move. I don't think she was confident in her fire making ability. And everything was pretty much going wrong for her in the challenges all season long until then. I think she was kind of banking on, let me have confidence and let me see what happens. I think her mistake was, ultimately, she probably should have taken Savannah or Rizzo and tried to make it so that Sage knocked the other one out so that she can say, I took you here and I made sure that this person didn't sit here. Like,
no,
I don't,
because that
that's, winning the finer.
Well, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, because whenever we see someone take someone that is a legit threat to win, the jury goes, why on earth did you take this person? You idiot. You're not reading the room at all. Like, that's what they always get that flack for that. So I don't
know. She was never going to win, honestly.
I think you put yourself up against, so, I don't know, could have beaten Rizzo maybe. Also, why don't people practice fire making? Or is it the moment? Is it really like the pressure? You're literally making fire for $1 million and you're just like can't get it done. I imagine Rizzo, who was such a big fan of this show, like wanted to be a legend. He said over, he calls himself a god. I don't imagine a world in which he was not practicing fire, but didn't he have a quote tonight that said, oh man, I should have practiced this beforehand and just.
No, he said didn't. He was confident he could make it. He just didn't know how to make it higher. But to me, it's like March Madness, man. Why does the 90% free throw shooter miss two free throws at the end of the game? It's the moment. It's the pressure. You've never been there
right
before. I think that's, if Rizzo that's, does the same moment on
free throw, it's different though than making fire. I think making fire is a systematic process where if I do A, then B occurs. Free throw, you can be great. You can be Steph Curry, but it's not going to go in every time, and it's a pressure situation. I think fire is more like you do it. Like, you either know how to do it or you don't. I could be wrong on that. Maybe there.
I think making a free throw in fire, it's very much. It's a.
No, no. Like the best free throw shooters, the best free throw shooters in the world are 90%. Like even Steph Curry
and Rizzo might win fire 90%.
Miss one. I'm not saying win fire because that depends on your opponent. I'm saying individual. I'm saying people who know how to make fire, like the bushcraft people, like those, like the outdoorsmen's, like they can make fire.
Gamblers.
100 out of 100 times. Like it's not something that like, oh, I missed my fire making one out of 10 times. It's like, no, you can do it every time. So I don't know.
Yeah. What did you think about the fact that they were also, let's talk about Final Five. They vote out Christina because she's a bigger threat to win fire, but not a threat to win the game. Like why, if you're Sophie and Sage, shouldn't you be like, no, we really need to get Christina, we need to keep Christina. I guess if you're Sophie and Sage, Sage is going home. If you're Sophie and Rizzo, you should be saying, wait, let's keep Christina. We can beat her and let's get her to get Savannah out of the game at 4.
Yeah, I get it though. I think I make this point a lot. Christina, if she makes it to 4, she's almost guaranteeing herself a spot in the final 3. And so it's almost like, because everyone's taking her. So there's no scenario in which you're getting brought to the final 3. Mm-hmm. So like you probably want her out of there, and the fire, if she is that good, and they all have said like they suck. So I get that. That added up for me.
It added up, but it's also like one of you is going to win. I guess maybe they were all just so scared that Savannah was going to win. So then it was going to be one of them versus Christina, but I don't know. I feel like Sage should have gone, but it doesn't matter. I mean, Savannah, it worked out for her. I just feel like you got to be trying to figure out how you can get Savannah out of the game. You can't get her out of 5. What's the easiest way to get her out of 4? It's for her to lose fire. Who has the best chance to beat her? Christina.
I was thinking of, I don't know, I always think of the more fun scenarios in my head at this final 5 boot. I really either wanted Savannah to be like, no, we have to vote Christina. And then Rizzo's like, sorry, Sav. Like, I'm taking the game in my own hands, and then plays his idol on Christina and then votes out Sage, and like that's his big moment. I mean, he still loses in fire anyway. It wouldn't change him winning. or for Sage and Christina to put their heads together and come up with a plan in which Rizzo plays the idol on somebody and then vote out Rizzo. Obviously, like, fan fiction to the max right now. But if there's any sort of plan where you can get Rizzo to play his idol on Christina or Sage, I doubt he does, but I don't know. It would have been interesting to see. Like, there's just because the guy has an idol, there's something there, well, maybe.
And part of me also wondered if you felt like the votes were going to go to you guys anyway, right? Like, there's no way. It's either Sage or Christina going home. Why didn't Sage, Christina, and Sov just say, you know what, let's vote for Rizzo anyway. He hasn't played his idol yet. Maybe he's going to be cocky and just not play it tonight.
Yeah, maybe he wants to hold it up in final three and be like, I never used it even. I used it as a defense strategy. So,
yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. And then where is it? Cody Brayman. This is why Savannah had a better social game than let on. She convinced them. I mean, she talked herself
is
down.
Is that social too, or is that strategic?
I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah. Well, you know, also, so at some point we lost the outwit, outplay, outlast from these final tribal councils. I don't know when that was. That could have been maybe not even the new era. Maybe that was like season 40 or something. Jeff's like, all right, enough classifying it. Let's just have the discussion. But now it's almost like we're back to one question each, but we're just going to sit down. And then you can have some back and forth. Yeah, and closing statements are back. They got rid of those, I thought.
Yeah, no, they it was essentially a pre-34 final tribal council.
Yeah, but they're sitting down now is the only difference. I guess that makes it more back and forth and more conversational. I got to put this one up by Captain Obvious. Where'd it go? Where'd it go? Here it is. Will gets the Philly this season, and Phil gets the Willy this season. I love like it, Captain that. Obvious. Captain Obvious is always on my side.
That's why I don't like that.
A true fan, though.
Yeah, so, and I see Shadowcat. I see your comment in here. We're going to get to that. That's about 52, so we'll talk about that in a little bit.
We will get to 50 talk eventually, yes.
Yeah, got to talk through the episode first, though. I mean, so that's five. Christina goes, I got to bring this up. I got a bone to pick here.
Ooh.
Spending 10 minutes looking for an advantage or watching them run around for an advantage this one was literally like a 30-second advantage in a 45-minute challenge. Like, this is, hey, you're going to get to do a marathon. You're going to race against a marathoner. You only have to do 26. He has to do 26.2. Like, no. Like, I'm still going to get smoked in that. Like, there was no – this was such a long challenge for it to be half of one obstacle, and it's probably the easiest of the obstacles. That was crazy.
Don't diss that obstacle, Phil.
That obstacle sucks, man. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Will. You want to say it?
What?
I don't know. I can't say anything bad about that obstacle.
Well, if anyone is curious, I did come up with that obstacle. But yeah. You're right. I don't want you hating on the obstacle, but that advantage was like nothing.
Nothing.
And I say this too. We've had this finale, like heightened, like search. And like, didn't we have the keys this season too? Didn't we already do this pretty much exact game to find
the
advantage?
It was at the merge, right?
At the merge, we had to run around.
Age, I think, got it.
And keys were hanging on trees.
Yeah.
We've had this now in a lot of finales, and this just isn't like, this is not it. It's not. And I think maybe it's the longer episode orders. It's a waste of time, and I always say this about giving an advantage in a challenge. Either the person with the advantage either doesn't win, and then you're like, okay, so what was the point of that whole scene, that whole segment of running around and the puzzle pieces and the map and everything like that? Like, what was the point of that if the advantage isn't good enough to win? And then if you do win, you're like, oh, so the only thing that mattered this whole challenge was what they did on the beach earlier, and this whole challenge didn't matter because the advantage was far too powerful. It's like, it's a lose-lose situation to include these advantages. So,
well, and so I sent you this thing from Rob's Fact Checker. Erica is still the only New Era Survivor player to find the final five immunity advantage and win the challenge. Lindsay, Carla, Jake, Eva, and Sophie all lost. For me, it's not even so much that I don't mind that the advantage isn't a lot necessarily, Okay. I mind that there was so much time spent in this finale on them getting that advantage. And then the advantage is pretty much nothing and a non-factor in the episode. That's what my bigger complaint is. And Will, being that you designed that portion of the challenge, the ladder rung there, being that that's your puzzle, cutting that in half, I mean, that looks simple to me.
It is. It's not even a, I wouldn't even call it a puzzle. It is it's an obstacle. It's literally, there's a rung and there's a ring and the ring's going up the center pole. You got to move it around one end, put the rung through, move it up the other end. It's a process. It's not like there's no solution to it. But if you do want puzzles with solutions, mm-hmm. make sure to download Pathways now in the App Store. Yeah, that's the link in the description for a daily puzzle game that I think you'll really enjoy. If you want to get on Survivor and you want to get your puzzle brain going, unlike Rizzo, I think if Rizzo had been listening to this and Pathways was out, he might have done better at the puzzle portion of Survivor. Is Rizzo here yet?
Dude, I'm sure Rizzo, I don't know if Rizzo drinks or not, but I'm sure if he does, he's probably hammered at a Bryson Wen event or something. I doubt.
Oh, yeah, here. That probably makes more sense than
11 a.m., man.
Hanging out in our chat. I will say
300 people who are here after midnight on the East Coast, thank you for being here. Like the video and subscribe to the channel, but thank you for being here because the presidential address being in the middle of a 3-hour episode of Survivor was not something I had on my bingo card for tonight. The fact that I'm podcasting at 12:11 and we still probably got 30 minutes left of this podcast is not where I anticipated being. So thanks for being here.
Yes. And I was almost thinking like Wednesday night, what an weird time to just like speak to the country. And part of me was like, the goal of this is clearly like get to as many people as possible without disrupting everything. You wouldn't do it during like Sunday night football or something because like you can't do that. You can't piss everybody off. But out of all the live shows, there a lot of people don't consume TV live, especially scripted shows, unless they're huge and you need to be part of the conversation. Reality TV and Survivor being, you know, one of the top reality TV shows has a lot of online live conversation, a lot of live viewers, at least relative. I know that the Nielsen ratings are down, but that's down across the board. But relative to other shows, it's like, did they pick Wednesday night in the middle of the Survivor finale to maybe be like, hey, I mean, Survivor influencing politics now, Phil?
Dude, I have no idea. Like, is this as big? They weren't going to interrupt Thursday night football, but there's nothing on Tuesdays and there's nothing on, I mean, Monday night football, you're not going to interrupt. Survivor finale.
It's like good enough time. There's enough live people. It's like, all right, we're going to stop for 20 minutes. Like, but yeah, I'm sure it's honestly good. You have like a break if you want it. Like you can just take 20 minutes, go walk the dog, eat some food. I mean, Survivor finales are pretty long.
Thank God this one wasn't a live one, huh? Otherwise, that would have been kind of weird. But no, I will say that it was nice that it was pre-recorded because I was very concerned that we were about to get one of those where we're waiting for him to come out, we're waiting for him to come out, and all of a sudden it was going to be 9:45, and I was going to be like,
they had it on the schedule down to like the minute. It was like 9:22.
Yeah, so he obviously had told everybody what was going.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah, told anyway. The TV networks and like yeah, made it not completely hard to produce.
Turgenstein says Will really came up with that. No, he really did.
Yeah.
I know some people don't realize that, like maybe, I mean, we have more live viewers right now than we normally have. So yes, Will used to like do challenge design and stuff over there on Survivor. So yes, he really did come up with that one. And you can see some of his stuff in, what was your first challenge? It was 36 or 35?
35 was the first one. And then there's a few sprinkled in. And I guess some of them pop up like now. Yeah.
Yeah, you never know. You never know who's going to be there. So yeah, I was just shocked that that's what the advantage was. I thought it was too small, especially if you're going to spend that much time on this advantage in the early portion of the episode, you have to get rid of it. And also, I do think it's funny that as far away as we've moved from what the finales looked like in the early seasons, we got rites of passage tonight. They just didn't walk around and put the torches in. We heard everybody say
that was great.
About everybody. And
love that. I thought it was really
worth.
I don't think this finale was all that good. Like, it really was a predictable, but like boot by boot, beat by beat, very predictable. I will say, not for nothing. I'll use your not for nothing phrase here. the finale beats in the format of the finale felt really good. I like the kind of informal rites of passage. I really enjoyed that. I think that's fun. I like the jury, like meet the jury video, like the clips they put in. I know they've been doing that for a while, but this one felt very well like structured and framed. And then I will give credit back to, like we talked about already, but the final tribal council, where each jury member gets one question, essentially. At least that's how they edited it. Maybe that was the thing they decided to do in post, and that wasn't how it went on the island. I imagine it was longer on the island. But this finale, it felt good in terms of, you know, the format of it. Not good in terms of maybe the most shocking or entertaining finale. But honestly, a lot of that has to do with 50.
And James Barber says, we were spoiled. That's why it was predictable. Right. I honestly thought the final three was pretty wide open. Going into that final tribal, I was saying Savannah's probably going to win this. And then as the tribal started going, I said, ooh, Sophie has a shot. Sage is doing pretty well. They're getting comments from people. There's some shocked faces. I mean, MC said it. Sophie was not who she was voting for going into that final tribal. I think the problem is the Sophies and the Stevens and the Rizzos of the world were already had their mind made up. So there's going to be too many people for Sophie Bellarity to actually have to flip. But I do feel like, you know, it was a wide open final three. I appreciated that. I liked that. I thought it was good. I just think that the 50 of it all ruined it. And we're 47 minutes in at this point now. I mean, this is an all-time fuck up, man.
Yeah. I went on a rant and I was actually going to put that out, Phil, at like the top of the episode to say, we can all agree this season got totally ruined by season 50. And we all get it. It sucks. We don't need to be negative. I don't need to go on a rant again like I did last week. It's stupid. It makes me mad. It sucks. But like, it is what it is. And we can maybe talk about some other things, because we've hammered that point home. And everybody
I just wanted to say that, though, because I mean, that really does the whole season at this point. I mean, we're 47. Like, why? We've talked, like, Savannah is good TV. You could, people say she replaced Marianne. If she replaced Marianne, could have just kept it as Marianne and used Savannah for the next one, man, and not ruin the season. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like, I said this last week. It's like, was Savannah that good that you're going to spoil an entire season of your show for one spot? Especially, we have 24 players on 50. That means each spot is actually less valuable. You're 1/24th of the cast as opposed to 1/18th. So your spot isn't even that big of a deal. You could be, I mean, again, they're going to have to run through people in 50 premiers just to get it down to a workable number where we can get a winner in 26 days. You really ruined a whole season just for Savannah. And I like Savannah, but I'm sorry. Not like, I don't think anybody is worth that. There's no one, even Caroline or Q. I don't even think that's worth it. If you're going to ruin an entire season.
Caroline, not Caroline. Come on.
Sorry, man. Caroline. Yeah. Caroline might be worth it. Maybe she's the only one. But at least she was not the winner, too. That's the worst part of it. Like, don't put the winner on.
Savannah, Kyle, D. And again, we got a comment. We got a comment on our last video.
Winners on anyway.
There should be no winners.
Yeah. It should be an even playing field. Like, put all players who have never won the show. They'll be hungrier. They'll play hard. Like, again, I like Kyle. I think Kyle played a really awesome under-the-radar game in 48. I don't like that season, but I think Kyle is a damn good player. Did not need to see him again. D, we have kind of – maybe we have ranked winners more than I've let on here, because we have said D is the best player of the new era. And still, I don't need to see D play again.
Yeah, agreed. And somebody had commented on one of our last videos, and it's something we've talked about a lot this season, where it was, well – you remember, CBS didn't spoil this. This isn't on them. No, it is on them, because they knew that this was going to get out. And it's like we talked about, you know, you have to know that this stuff is going to leak. And it's your job that even if you're not the one putting it out, to not play dumb to that. You know that this stuff is going to get out. And all it takes is one person to get it. And one person's going to comment in one video and say, look at this, look at this, look at this. Even if you don't go seek it out, you're going to come across it. I mean, there's people who listen to our podcast who would comment in the chat over here and be like, I didn't know Savannah was on 50. Well, like, it's such public knowledge. It gets to that point and you're going to find out the tribes and you're going to find out this and you're going to find out that. You have to know that this is going to happen. You have to be proactive about it and just say, you know what? Is it really worth it? Because I think season 49 had the potential to be an all-time season. The pre-merge was not good, but the post-merge was incredible. And especially if you didn't know that Savannah and Rizzo were going to be on 50, this post-merge was nuts. Imagine if you were watching this the way you were watching, I don't know. I don't know if people knew about Russ on Samoa, but like China, you don't know what's going on. With this post-merge, you don't know. And that's awesome. Like, that's how it should be. And it's just a bummer that was ruined for us. And like, you're going to get people, every guest that we had on this podcast preseason, who's your winner pick? Savannah. It was too easy. And I don't blame them for going that route. And like, Will, you went with Sophie. I went with Jawan. We're trying to have some fun with it. But like, in the back of my mind, was it not Savannah's just going to win this? Yeah. And guess what? There's nothing more annoying than somebody like Blake being right because he takes the easy route on this. And I'm going to tell him that tomorrow on Digging Deeper, because he's going to be like, I told you, I knew it. It's the first time he's gotten anybody right in the history of time. And it was the most obvious winner of all time. Like, you got to have fun with it, though. And I feel like there's people like Savannah might have been listening to our podcast going, man, these guys hate me. It's like, no, in the back of my mind, I know that you can win this thing, but I can't go through 13 weeks of the show saying Savannah wins. Savannah. Like, what's the point of even doing the podcast then? So I just, yeah, I don't know. It was, I will give them credit. The edit was much more even than it could have been, being of who was on 50. I felt like I knew Sophie Bellarity. I felt like I knew Sage. So at least there was that to go with it. But yeah, this was annoying.
Yeah, I've said it pretty much. I think I said it in the premiere. I was like, this season is going to be better on a rewatch. Mm-hmm. 50 just reared its head too many damn times here. Yeah, like every decoy boo was Rizzo Savannah. Yeah. It's just like,
yeah. Yeah. And speaking of 50 rearing its damn head, so we got Shadowcat 99 or Alan 36. My prediction for Billie Eilish Boomerang Idol is that if you play it correctly on someone, the idol will then work for votes cast against you.
Wait, if you play it correctly on someone, the idol will then work for votes cast against. So it will cover two people, but I don't know if that's necessarily a boomerang.
Maybe it's something where if it doesn't work on them, it works on you.
Or if you misplay it, maybe it's like if you misplay it, then the votes that you, whoever you played it on get, I don't know. I'll have to think on the boomerang. I mean, I like the name of it. I think people are really mad about all the 50.
Bro, that preview sucked.
I don't hate it as much as everybody.
Sucked. Look, the hype of Colby, Jenna, yeah, I'm pumped. Mike White.
Sri. Also, can we talk about, I don't want to be rude or anything, but like, some of these people have aged quite a bit, and it was,
they're kind older, of Will,
jarring. No, I know. It's just like, it honestly is pretty cool. I mean, it kind of makes it more epic. Like, I've always really wanted a return of the TV show 24 with like a really old and grizzled Jack Bauer. That's like something I hope happens. And this kind of gives me that vibes of like, oh my God, Coach is like, he's got like wrinkles and gray. And it's like this, this is like final form of Coach. And like, it feels pretty awesome.
Colby still looks damn good, man.
Oh, Colby looks good, but he looks older. Ozzy too.
Ozzy was the one I think that jumped
like
out.
Ozzy was like, whoa, this is a very different Ozzy. And he played not that long. I mean, Game Changers wasn't that long ago.
Now only 7-8 years. Dude, the gimmicks that they are bringing up in this preview as if that's what we should be hyped about. They have no idea who their audience is. They literally have no idea who their audience is.
I'm going to push on this, but let's hear it. You rant first and I'll
okay, I mean, you can push on it. Look,
a little bit devil's advocate because I get the frustration on some sides, but let me first hear your arguments.
The Billie Eilish boomerang idol, the Jimmy Fallon this, Mr. Beast is on the island with a briefcase. So we're not Survivor anymore. You're Deal or No Deal Island. You're something else. You're House of Villains, right? Like, and look, these are shows. Well, Deal or No Deal Island's over, but these are shows that come back, right? But if you're going the route now on your 50th season, that you're now bringing in celebrities and celebrities are having an impact, and this is the Jimmy Fallon idol, Jimmy Fallon, woohoo, yeah, like. I watched the Staff DNA Cure Bowl today because I had nothing to do from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Like, you're throwing Staff DNA on the front of Cure Bowl because you need the sponsorship to keep it alive. The thing is, this might bring in some new viewers. Oh, man, people love Mr. Beast. Mr. Beast's the biggest thing on the internet right now. That makes sense. But it's the idea of sitting there and watching this and thinking that is what our show has become. And for the biggest season, if the Billie Eilish boomerang idol ends up being some stupid overpowered BS, remember, it wasn't called the Tyler Perry idol on Kaguya. It just, everybody knew it was from Tyler Perry because Jeff said right. that. So then it became right. known as the Tyler Perry idol. They are calling it the Billie Eilish boomerang idol. Like, what are we doing? Like, I get you're trying to connect with a younger audience, but the younger audience is probably going to say that's mid. I don't like that or whatever. Jeff's not unk. Let's move on.
That's not cinema.
It's not cinema. It's not fire chat where I'm so cooked. Like, it's just, it seems so stupid. It feels like they have jumped the shark fully with that on a season where you don't need it. Now, maybe they feel like, well, and get away with this a little bit more. It's a new era, or it's like, it's the biggest season anyway. People are going to watch, so let's do this. But I don't want to watch Mr. Beast come out with a briefcase and be like, guess what's inside my briefcase? Island of the Idols is a dog shit season of Survivor because Russ, and part of it is because Rob and Sandra are just walking around doing nothing. Like, there's no reason for them to be there. I don't need cameos on Survivor the way you do with other reality TV shows. I think it's gimmicky. I think it's cheap. And I think it puts Survivor in an echelon below where they normally are.
Yeah, you're probably right. I don't know. I
go devil's advocate. Come on. You got to give me something after
No,
that.
I know. I would say this. Like, the season, and we've talked about this a little bit, but like this, the name of the season is in the hands of the fans. And so I get that we voted on some things, and look, they let us vote on. We're kind of like, we've talked a lot about it. They gave it, okay, we're going to vote on the buff colors. We're going to vote on the final immunity challenge out of only three choices. Like, we're not designing the game. We're not designing the season. The questions that really matter were incredibly vague. Like, we want like dynamic level of advantages, or like, you know, normal or standard. It's like, what do these even mean? There's no real meaning to a lot of what we voted on. And so I had posited to you at some point, it was like, I imagine, because didn't Tegwith do something, or am I allowed to say, had some fans out there. Like, Tommy Smokes was out there from Barstool, and some other content creators have been out there. And I kept thinking, like, the season is called In the Hands of the Fans. They're actually going to have, like, the fans make some sort of decision or influence the season in some way. And I'm not sure what happened with the content creators and the TikTokers and all those people. Phil, maybe you should have gone out there, man. Not quite big enough, I guess. You're not cool. You know, one day, maybe. I mean, you get invited to some stuff. You're doing exit interviews tomorrow. I mean,
I'm getting exit interviews.
Yeah, okay. But that there should be some way for the fans to do, I don't know, influence more than we did, because it didn't feel like we did enough with the polling. And that is absolutely the fault of Jeff and the production of the show, that like what the fans voted on really wasn't all that meaningful. Maybe with the exception of like Fire making it Final Four being like the only tangible thing that we actually voted on. And so this gimmick of, okay, we're going to invite Jeff's famous friends out, or, you know, celebrity Survivor fans, have them come out and do something if they attend a challenge or they present an option. Like, it doesn't really bother me, because look, Survivor puts in these gimmicks. We have these journeys, we have rolling dice, we have these new era twists that are very kooky. Like, this isn't foreign to Survivor in its current form. The only thing different here is that we're putting some celebrity faces to these new gimmicks and twists. The new gimmicks and twists are already happening in new era Survivor. So if it's going to bring in, you know, more viewers, it's going to bring in some life and maybe make it feel grand. I mean, when you bring in celebrities, especially as famous as the ones they're not getting like Tyler Perry. Like, Tyler Perry, I don't think would it be big enough or grand enough of a name for a season as big as Survivor 50 should be. But Mr. Beast is like literally one of the most famous people in the world. And that might be shocking to some people, but like, he is the number one most viewed YouTube channel, and especially with younger generations. And they've done recent studies. What is the number one job that younger generations want? They want to be a YouTube star. They want to be a YouTube creator. Kids love Mr. Beast, and I think that's probably good for the overall livelihood of Survivor. If it wants to continue past 50 and it wants to continue bringing in new fans to the franchise, Mr. Beast is a huge get. Jimmy Fallon is a huge get. Billie Eilish is a huge get. So, like, we're going to have the kooky things anyway. Might as well throw celebrities in there to make it feel big and maybe draw in some new audience members.
So now let me ask you this, though. You bring in Jimmy Fallon. Who is it? Zach Bryan? It was Zach Bryan, right?
There's Zach Bryan. I actually saw Zach Bryan in concert this summer. Great
concert. There you go. Well, so you bring in Zach Bryan, you bring in Jimmy Fallon, you bring in the Billie Eilish idol. We don't know if some of these people are even showing up in the idol. They might just name stuff, whatever.
I'm sure they're not all there. Like
Mr. Beast.
Yeah.
So you get these viewers who come in and say, oh man, Mr. Beast did that Survivor show. My grandpa watches that. Now Mr. Beast isn't on it. Do you go back and watch Survivor again? Probably not. Like, I think that's the biggest problem. I don't think that this is actually going to capture longevity from viewers. This is now are you going to bring Mr. Beast back every season in hopes that that's what, like, that'll bring
no viewers? It's like, no, it's I think of it as like a feature on an album or a track where it's like, you know, maybe this is a take like Eminem, for example. If Eminem does a verse on any other rapper's Zach record.
Brown. That's what it is. Yeah, go ahead.
So Zach Brown or Zach Bryan? I forget. Zach Luke Brown. Bryan.
Yeah, I'm merging Luke Bryan and Zach Brown into one person. That's what's happening.
Okay. That makes sense. So I guess I didn't see that concert then.
Yeah. It's not a real person.
Not a real person. Yeah. But like if Eminem goes onto someone's track and like does a verse, that's that rapper, that artist is going to gain a lot of attention and recognition due to the notoriety of Eminem. And I think that's what's like, that's the goal here with Mr. Beast. It's like Mr. Beast is a big Survivor fan. He's influenced by Survivor in a lot of ways. And he's even doing his own reality show. He has his own reality show, Beast Games, which is a massive show. And in season two, it looks like he took people from his show and brought them to Fiji and they drove by the Survivor 50 Island. And like, there is a world where you are bringing Mr. Beast fans into Survivor and they start watching it. They like it. He doesn't need to be in every episode, but they come for Mr. Beast and they stay because they like Survivor. That's what it is. And that's like the same thing with like a feature on an album, you know, like mm-hmm. you come for the thing, you know, and you stay because you like the thing you just were introduced to.
And I get that. I do understand. And I understand that maybe they're feeling like they need to get more viewers. They need to get the younger viewers. This will be what attracts the younger viewers. I understand all of that. It just feels like this is taking away from what it just feels like it's taking away from Survivor. Maybe I'm an old man yelling at cloud, but that's what it feels like.
I don't know.
And JD Robinson, our guy, it takes you out of an otherwise very immersive experience. I feel like it takes you out of what Survivor is supposed to be. Like it just makes Survivor. Oh, look at that cameo. And then Jeff's going to focus on that cameo for 10 minutes anyway, or something. Like, I don't want that. Like, I think that's silly. And I think that's stupid. And look, maybe there's other people. Maybe this will be great for the ratings. I think it's stupid. I think it's really, really dumb. Yeah. I feel like they focused on that more than they did the actual cast of who's going to be there. And that's...
Well, also, we have to remember, we just saw the trailer, and the trailer is going to include all of those big names because that's the whole point of why they got the big names. You don't want to put Mr. Beast on your TV show and not tell anyone about it. So, of course, he's going to make the trailer. Same with Jimmy Fallon and Luke Bryan and or Zach Brown or whatever, or Billy. Like,
we're really you're butchering
going,
Zach
Brown. Yeah, you're going... I know. You're going to put those names on, so... When we get to the episodes, and remember, we have 90-minute episodes. If, you know, if Jimmy Fallon is there for 3 to 5 minutes and he's not overpowering the show, it really won't bother me that much. And I get the point by JD. That's a very good point. That's probably the best point, better than any of the points that you're making, that, like, it takes you out of you're on an island all alone. But haven't we lost that by now? Like, I feel like we've kind of, the ship has sailed.
Oh,
once
yeah.
you bring, I mean, they, Cochran, so once you bring Cochran in on the boat and then, you know, we open Survivor 41 by seeing all the cameras and the crew. We went to base camp with Jake after he got bit by a snake this season. Like, there's and especially the way that Jeff has a podcast now where he talks about the behind the scenes and the production of it all. You know, whereas when Survivor first came out, it was like this very mysterious thing. They're plopped on an island, they're all alone, and they really do everything they can to hide the cameras. And Jeff would say at Tribal Council in the early seasons, don't mention that this is even a TV show. But then now we're talking about, oh, I sit down every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. And this is, it's like, we understand it to be a TV show. We understand where it's filmed. People go on vacations to go see the challenge locations and the islands. Like, the whole, like, idea of this being some mysterious island, this immersive experience has kind of gone out the door the past, what, like 20 seasons? So... I get that bringing the celebrities on kind of it does take that away a little bit, but it's almost like we have such little of that left as it stands.
Yeah, we got worth playing for. They looked old. That's about the cast, obviously. Got to throw up that chat.
Not and us, I, mean, I hope.
And I mean, look, that's an older cast. Maybe that's impacting why they're trying to bring some young people on. I'm not a reality TV fan. I'm not. Like, I love Survivor. We go through the traitors. Normally the traitor starts out hot, and then by episode 6, I'm like, wow, this game is falling apart on itself. Like, I'm not a big fan of reality TV.
I have fun with the traitors. You have fun with the traitors. Come on.
We have fun with the traitors for like 90% of it. But here's the thing. I've always just loved Survivor. And what I loved about Survivor is Survivor doesn't do what all these other reality TV shows do. It doesn't have those stunt cameos. When Cochran comes out, at least it's Cochran. It's a Survivor player. It's somebody that we've seen before, right? This is Jeff patting Mr. Beast on the back, being like, this is awesome. Didn't you guys love this? Like, imagine the coach confessional talking about how great Jack and Jill is, except now it's Jeff talking to a guest for 5 to 10 minutes, and now we have to start calling things the Jimmy Fallon idol, the Billie Eilish boomerang idol, this, that, whatever. And now we're going to watch Sari get voted out of the game because of the Billie Eilish boomerang idol that hit Christian Hubicki, bounced off of him, went back, hit Sari, and Sari gets voted out with zero votes again. Like, it's just, it's so over the top. And maybe they've done enough market research that they feel like this is about to make them upper echelon of Survivor, or like upper echelon of TV. I don't feel like it matters. I feel like with these cameos and with these things, people are going to go and they're going to watch Mr. Beast, and they're going to watch Beast Games, and they're going to watch all these different things. I just don't think that they're ultimately going to care. Younger people could give two shits about Jimmy Fallon. They're not staying up to watch The Late Show. And unless they're eating a bunch of Ben and Jerry's, they probably don't even realize who the hell Jimmy Fallon is. Fever Pitch was 20 years ago. So for me, it just feels like this is a way to get other celebrities involved so they'll talk about it a little bit more. But at the end of the day, I just don't think that matters as much in today's society as it does in the past. The Mr. Beast one is probably the only one I will give them because he's so big. But calling things by the name of celebrities and stuff, I think it's just all it does is just get corny and it's stupid and it's just taking the show to a different – it's going to E, right? And I know you work on House of Villains, and I appreciate what House of Villains is. It's just not a show for me. But that's where this feels like it's going. I think about what was his name, Spencer, who came in and was just like, yeah, I don't really know why everybody's yelling at each other. I don't know what's going on. Like, that's what this
feels like. We had Spencer Pratt on. It was very funny.
Yeah, that's what
he was our guest host for one of the challenges. And all the people there were like, who is this guy? And like, it was like, he was so awkward hosting. He was actually so funny. I hear you. It's probably
and Cody Brayman. Kobe Braben says maybe it'll be real rewards again. Travel the island, hanging out with Mr. Beast would be an interesting reward, or at least like maybe from getting these types of people, maybe you get a little bit more money. But I would assume they're paying Mr. Beast a lot of money to come and do this.
Oh, I don't know. I feel like Mr. Beast is like a big Survivor fan and wanted to do it. Okay. And it probably is like a partnership. Cause like I think it's like more of a crossover than it is. Like, okay, I don't think they paid sense. Him. I think he's not motivated by money. He's got like, he's a billionaire. So it's like,
yeah, he has 454 million subscribers. So he's certainly doing better than
us
and CBS, not CBS.
But and CBS. No, probably better than CBS. I'm not even kidding. We'll get there one day, Phil.
Bro. Yeah. I mean, I'm just, you 12K, know, you can click over there.
Like and subscribe. So we can get to 452 million.
Instead of 3K, you know, I get pumped when we hit the Steven video is almost at 7,000 and I'm pumped out of my mind. So,
okay, here's Cody Brayman again. I don't know if we put this one up. You pick a person and get the votes not counted, but then you pick a person that boomerang and count for me. So it's like if I play an idol on myself and I get 5 votes like that don't count towards me, I get to choose where those 5 votes land. So it's not that it's not Wentworth doesn't count. Is it will not count? Wentworth will not count. It's Wentworth counts towards Savage. Wentworth counts towards Savage. Wentworth counts towards Savage. That's a good idea, Cody Brayman. I like that one. Keep saying it, though, the Billie Eilish boomerang idol, it's like, it's comical. Like, it is. It does feel like a jump the shark moment.
It does. It's so over the top. Is Mr. Beast related to Colby?
I don't think so.
Jimmy Donaldson. I'm just throwing it out there.
That is true.
Just throwing it out there.
Where is, but no, Colby's from Texas. Mr. Beast is in North Carolina. So I mean, I don't know. It's possible.
Families don't move. I'm just saying. Anyway, yeah, that's where it feels like, too, with like the jumping of the shark and stuff like that. It just feels like there's going to be so much of it loaded into the game. And at the end of the day, with these players that we're watching on season 50, we want to watch the players play. And if this is what the show starts to become, where it's every season, Jeff's working his way out of being the host. And now that's going to be like a guest host each week. Wait until you see who's on this week. Wait until you see. It's like, sitcoms don't work anymore, right? Because nobody cares about who's guest starring in a sitcom anymore. That used to be a huge deal. When Bruce Willis did Friends, that was like insanity that you were going to be able to get him. It used to just be the promotion every week Friends, when you're watching football.
Friends had a lot of those.
Yeah, they did. They
had so many good cameos.
So many. And you would sit there and you would watch football and it'd be, guess who's cameoing this week? Guess Jeff Probst cameos on what? The Big Bang Theory or whatever. And so... You think about that, but that's not what TV is right now. And that's never what Survivor has been. And I just think this is such a bad trip down the wrong path. And if they do this, you might gain some new younger viewers. But I don't think that the show is going to like really gain permanent viewers from it.
Have you heard of the phrase Mr. Beastification?
No.
Basically, it's used to describe like a lot of content creators and anything kind of video online related, like getting Mr. Beastified and being like kind of his style with the fast editing and the clickbaity and like the thumb, like all that. And it's almost like this is a literal Mr. Beastification of Survivor with actually having Mr. Beast on.
Yeah. Well, and it's like Tony M here says Beast Games is 80% random gimmicks. I can see Survivor going that way. I mean, maybe that's where the show's heading.
He does do a lot of random stuff because they start with like 1,000 people and it's like, all right, let's see what happens.
People just
drop it to the ground.
That was an unbelievably disappointing preview.
50 trailer. Yeah. I'm not as worked up because I don't think Jeff would let that kind of overtake the entire season. I think maybe it happens. I don't think it's an every episode thing. I think this is probably 4 to 5 instances of, you know, you probably have a 13, 14 episode run like usual, 90 minute episodes, and it's going to be like 4 or 5 times. And obviously they put all of those names into the trailer. Of course, they're going to market that they have those names involved, but it's not going to be nonstop. And I'm sure a lot of those people aren't there. Like if Jimmy Fallon was out there, they probably wouldn't show. It's probably Jimmy Fallon says like, this was my idea for an idol and I'm a fan. And now his idea is in the show, or maybe the Boomerang Isle was Billie Eilish's idea. And so that's why we're naming it that. It's just funny that just because it's in the hands of the fans. Now we have celebrity fans. It's like, it's still not really in the hands of the actual fans. It's only in the hands. It's only in your hands if you're famous.
And it's just like how like Survivor just put out their newsletter that they always send around. If you're in like their email thing, if you ever bought anything from them, whatever. And in that email, it said, oh, looking to apply to the show, check out casting tips from super fan Liddy Lytle or something. And it's literally Rachel McAdams as this character that she's playing in a movie coming up, doing a fake Survivor audition tape. And I'm like, I just feel like, what are we doing?
That's also a promo for that movie, too.
It is probably no. And I get that. But what I'm saying is like when you're doing that and then when you're coming and you're doing like these other types of cameos and Jimmy Fallon wants to do this and Billie Eilish wants to do this again, it feels like it's going to, we know that the fans are really into this, but like, look at the different famous people who are associated with our show. Isn't this so cool? And I feel like what's kept Survivor around for so long and why people are so invested is because it is the everyman show. It is truly like the one everyman show. I think this takes away from it. Turgenstein, though, Jake Paul Tribal Council. Honestly, the average age of the people here are people that he would probably try to box anyway. So
is that what they said?
No, that was just made up, but that's funny. That's just funny. Like, he would love to fight Coach or Colby at this point.
Yeah.
We're in their 50s. I mean, that's his prime age.
Yeah, or Mike or Tyson.
There you go. Look at you. Feeling good about yourself after that?
Not really.
No, you should be. What else do we have? You have anything else to do? It's 12:45. I'm ready to go to bed, but do you have anything else?
season 49 probably better than we feel about it now because of the 50 stuff. We've said that a bunch. Savannah, solid winner, not, you know, incredible by any means. The Philly and the Willie. We got to do the Philly.
Do it for the season, but it can't be the winner. Wait, wouldn't it just be like the Philly would be Savannah, wouldn't
it? I guess the Philly is Savannah. And you're the Philly. That's up to you. You don't have
If we're going based on like who was the best of the season, it's got to be Savannah. She wins the game.
It's just this episode, Bill. Not the whole season.
It's her. She won. Yeah, obviously. For emotional support, you know, maybe Rizzo gets the Philly from like look how good he did. He RIZGOD'd him way into the Final Four and stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's Savannah. That's silly.
And Philly the Willie, silly right the Willie goes to Soapy for not putting herself in fire. I don't know if it would have changed things for her. I don't know. I think if she goes against Rizzo and fire and beats him, she probably wins over Savannah. I don't know.
I don't either.
Do we think Rizzo gave Jeff a hug because he's a specialist fan?
Dude, we didn't talk about that. Yes. Yes, I do. Yeah, I'm going to ask him that tomorrow.
Yeah, I know you're doing the interview and it's like official and it's not through our normal way we do things. And then we can't just joke around. You have to be a little bit more put together, but that's, I'm
will
curious.
Ask
that question. I mean, I'm sure he wanted to hug Jeff.
Does Christina also hug Jeff? So maybe it was fresh on the mind, but I know Rizzo's been listening to us since the Adam days. I feel like that might've been like, I got to hug Jeff no matter what.
Right. But I also feel like it was a genuine, I think Jeff was in on it too. Like Jeff wanted to hug Rizzo. I really wish when Jeff, after the hug, that when he snuffed Rizzo's torch, instead of saying Riz God, I wish he would have said RIZGOD, Riz God.
Baby.
Baby. Yeah. That would have been far better.
Incredible. That would have been incredible. That would have been cinema. Yeah. I don't know. I will be asked. That'll be the one question. That'll be my one joke question. Hopefully he's hearing this already and he just opens with that. All right. Well, that's it. I'm going to have exit interviews tomorrow. So they'll probably start releasing around mid-afternoon, around like 2:30, somewhere in that range. So stay tuned to the channel for that. Blake and I will be doing Digging Deeper tomorrow. It's just the two of us. We didn't know when the exit interviews and stuff were going to happen, so I didn't want to get a guest and screw ourselves there. So Blake and I will be live probably around 5 p.m. Eastern time. I'm sure he will have plenty of great things to say. So make sure you tune into that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then we're into the off season. And like we said, in January, you're going to be doing top 50s. We got about 6 or 7 of them planned out. So there's a lot coming your way. Tegwith has an entire series that she has planned starting, I think, January 2nd or 3rd or something. She has it coming out pretty early. John and McKenna are working on a series. We have so much going on. We'll be doing a year in review again like we did last season, probably somewhere like before Christmas or something like that, a Survivor year in review. And that's it. That's it. There won't be any full length episode or hour and a half tell-alls or anything like that. But we're also going to have everything you need to know about Savannah and Rizzo and Savannah and Rizzo's defining episodes. We'll be covering those too. I think that's important because we did that for every other player. So we might as well do those. So we're going to have so much content. It's like we're not even taking off, but we got to keep the hype for 50 going and we don't have a choice. So like the video, subscribe to the channel, follow us on social media so you can find out when all of these episodes are dropping tomorrow. And first one, like I said, X interview should be around like 2:30, somewhere in that range. So thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Let us know your thoughts on 50. Let us know your thoughts on Savannah. Let us know your thoughts on everything season 49. And I'll see you tomorrow. Oh, Traders. Yes. January 8th. Bye. We'll see you then.
Yeah, we'll be covering the Traders. I'm excited. I can't wait for the Traders.
Of course. January 8th.
All right. See you, everybody.
Bye, everybody.